Fred Film Radio interview.
Fred Film Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the inaugural edition of the Pingyao Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Aida Begic. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
And I'm very pleased to also be talking about your new film, Never Leave Me. So, as a first question, kind of for our listeners who may not be familiar with the film, how could you introduce it? Would you like to maybe tell us a little bit about the story and what it's about?
It's a story about Syrian orphans living in a border city in southeast Turkey. It's a story about hope, friendship, pain. But it's mainly about the real kids who are real refugees and real orphans that I found during more than 1 year of research in the border cities in Turkey.
Right. And so let's start from the beginning. So you, when you researched for the film, did you actually go to these places?
Yes, I went. Organized a series of workshops in the border cities of Turkey, where a lot of Syrian refugees live. So I saw a few hundred Syrian orphans. I made like acting workshops with them. We tried to bring some joy and fun in their lives, also to provide them with some humanitarian aid, with some like existential things that they needed. And through that process, I basically discovered some kids that could be the most talented and most motivated for the movie, and through that process I also explored the topic, and that's how I wrote a script that was based on real events, the real lives of the kids that are in the movie.
And while you did these workshops, could you see the effect that it was having on these kids?
Definitely, you know, it was really emotional to see all those kids, because it's not only what they told us, because we didn't talk much, we tried to play more than talking, but what you see in their eyes, you know, you see like adults in children's bodies, because all those kids like us in 90s in our war had to become adults overnight. At the same time, their childhood didn't stop, it was just interrupted. So you see like a person who on one hand has some perception as a really grown-up person, on the other hand there is this need to be child and to have childhood that was interrupted unfortunately by this horrible war that is going on.
For instance, instead of going to school, some of the kids decide to sell tissues on the street. So that's a very real kind of thing.
Yeah, the problem is with many kids, and the fact that they, for example, in Turkey, they can go to school. They have right to go to school. But the problem for most of them is that they already lost a few years of school during their stay in Syria. Then when they come as refugees, they are already like, let's say, 12 years old, but they are on educational level of 8-year-old kid. So for them, it's very hard to catch up with their generation. So they cannot go back to the first or second grade, and they cannot follow with their own generation. So for some of them, it's question of existential need to work, but for some of them, it's just question of not being able to catch up the school because they just lost 3-4 years sometimes.
Just because I'm interested in this word existential, what is it that you mean by existential need?
I mean like basic material things like food, clothes, and the roof, you know. And it's just one part that you need as a human being. Of course, you need to survive, you need to have food. But at the same time, you need to fulfill your spiritual needs, you know, not just your physical needs. So you need to also play, to have fun, maybe to do art like we did during the siege of Sarajevo. So most of the time when we talk about refugees, we don't think about this aspect of their lives, you know, and especially talking about kids, we don't think, those kids also need to have toys, because you bring them jackets, you bring them food, but you rarely think to bringing them doll or track, plastic track, or, you know, something like that.
And I guess the art element is evident in one of the key driving narratives of the movie, that is one of the kids that wants to sing at this contest. So that also represents it in a way.
Yeah, because kids still have dreams like any other kid in the world, you know. They want to become famous. They want to win the singing contest. They want to escape school because they're bored there, you know. So they're like any other kids, except the fact that they went through a lot. They lost their family members. Some of them were wounded, you know. But at the same time, they are still kids. So they still have these kind of childish ideas of life like any other kid in the world.
Yeah. Now, we've already mentioned a few things about this movie that seem to blend reality and and fiction. And I wonder, as a filmmaker, is this an area of filmmaking that particularly interests you?
Yeah, I always like to root my stories in reality, but at the same time, as language, I like to explore fiction more. I like to touch some poetic elements of movie making. So I was trying for this project. It was really hard because I knew that I want to make a fiction film. It's not documentary. I needed also to protect kids, putting them in some fiction form so that they don't, not to expose them to go through the same pain that they already went through. And also, but at the same time, to bring to the spectator their stories in its heaviness and beauty and emotions in full sense of that word. So it wasn't easy form to catch, you know, to be realistic, but at the same time to make a fiction film so that you are really watch a movie and not real life.
Exactly. And in the sense of, and in terms of directing these kids that have been to very traumatic experiences, some of which we can't even imagine, how do you do that?
Well, with the kids, the main thing is trust. They need to trust you. You cannot really, you cannot blackmail kid. You cannot bribe the kid. If we talk about director actors relation, you cannot say, "Ah, you signed the contract. Now you cannot leave." But if kids trust you, then you can have the best collaborator in the world. They trusted me in sense of, I mean, as actors to the director, but also as a, we trust each other as human beings. So I really could rely on the kids. And of course, the kids fight sometimes, you know, they sometimes go through their own hard times. And but I was always able to solve the problem, treating them as responsible people. Because kids are really serious people. They are not, sometimes we treat them like they don't understand, but they understand more than we can imagine.
Exactly. Absolutely. I completely agree. And exactly. So these stories about childhood, and I guess, although it's an overused term, but coming of age is also an interesting part of one's life. So I guess it also makes for good stories, right?
Yeah, it is. It's like what for me was really interesting is to pick up different kids with different characters, with different temper, so that I can really have drama, so that I can really have variety of possibilities in building up this story. What was really, when you work with kids, on the other hand, you have to deal with the fact that some of them lose teeth during the process, for example, because they are growing up.
Continuity.
So continuity of teeth was sometimes a big problem. Or sometimes you realize that one of the boys, for example, the oldest boy, is just growing up so fast that I was afraid that, you know, by the end of the shooting, he will be someone else. And like in few months after we finished the shooting, and even at the premiere, a few weeks ago, they were so different because, you know, like the main boy is like one, at least like 20 centimeters higher than he was, and they change face, especially boys. So there are many challenges, you know, that we had to face regarding this, like, physical and very realistic aspect.
These are things that you don't really think about, I guess, when you're watching the film, but yeah, they're real worries, I suppose, during production. And yes, another thing that I wanted to ask you was that you mentioned in one of your earlier answers that the film mixes beauty and brutality, something along those lines. And I do want to emphasize that although it deals with a lot of very sad and very dramatic and very real things like the Syrian refugees and the even the kids' lives, there's some elements in the narratives that are very dramatic and emotional. It's also, it can also be very have very happy and sweet moments. Now, that's also very important in the creation of a film like this, right?
Yeah, because when we say like it's a war story, a refugee story, you always think like, ah, yeah, it must be something really dark and really hopeless and so on and so on. But as in life, as in every other situation in life, there is always a complexity of the situation. It's never black and white. And I know that war is not just killing. War is also laughter and love. You fell in love during the war. You laugh. For example, fashion is also important aspect for example, if we talk about refugee kids, and we had some problems, let's say, on establishing costumes for them because they don't want to wear that or they want to wear this because they have, you know, still have this idea of how to be fashionable, even though they are poor, of course, and they cannot afford what they would be able to afford if it's some normal circumstances. But there is always variety of feelings and elements of every situation in life, and I think movie is there to present it in its full complexity of that, and not just to say, if it's love story, that there is only, I don't know, like pink environment, or if it's war, it's just dark. It's always some kind of balance.
You're presenting the complexity of life, although I do, if I dare say, see your film as quite optimistic.
Thank you for saying that, because it's not really, how to say, it doesn't sound so like attractive when you say it's a movie about Syrian kids directed by a woman. But yes, I was trying really to search for beauty and optimism and hope in these dark ages that we are living in.
There's a lot of humanity. Well, thank you very much for joining us. It truly was a magnificent film, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.